Morning, everyone. Today's daf and kedushin Samech Ches. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. As long as Zechon Ishmael Lipa Gabriela Bashmuel, we are on Samech Zayin Amud Beis. We're towards the top of the Amud. We started a Mishnah on Samech Vav Amud Beis, and that Mishnah gave us four categories. Although we're in the third parak of kedushin, and we're in the middle of the third parak of kedushin, actually towards the end of the third parak, but nevertheless, we are moving topics in the Masechta, and we're talking about Yichus, and we're talking about what happens when marriages occur and children are made. What are the status of the children? So what the Mishnah did for us in Samech Vav Amud Beis is it put us into four different categories in terms of what are the general rules. Now, with general rules, you have general rule and you have exceptions. But in terms of what the general rules are, so the Mishnah on Samech Vav Amud Beis says, here we go. Category number one, you have Tfisas Kedushin, where the Kedushin will take effect, and there's no Isser whatsoever. A lawful marriage, more than lawful marriage, it's, you know, Bais Nemen B'Yisrael. What we're hoping for our children. So the grandchildren. So the it's what we hope for. So what's the status of the child? The child follows the zacher, follows the male, the father. So whatever the father's characteristic is, that's what the child is going to be. So examples of that would be Kohen Levi Yisrael. Okay, that's straightforward. That's quote unquote what should be happening. Then the category number two. Category number two is where there is tfisas kedushin. The kedushin is effective, but it's a lav. It doesn't necessarily have to be a lav. It's an iser in the Torah. The Torah prohibits it. Generally speaking, we're going to be talking about a lav. So there's tfisas kedushin, and it's an iser. So what is the status of the child? The pogum shabbah. So whatever is a deficient side of the father or mother, so that's what the child is going to be. If dad's a momser, child's a momser. If mom's a momser, child's the mom's there. Okay. That's category number two. Category number three. Category number three is where the woman is Jewish, the man is Jewish, the woman's Jewish, but it's an Erev Hashabbat Torah. It's one of the Arayas in the Torah. We just went through the Parshas of Achrim, Mos, and Kedoshim. The Torah listed for us all the Arayos. So if a man attempts to marry an Erva, so there is no Tfisas Kedushin, and consequently the child is going to be a mamzer. That's category number three. Category number four. Category number four is where there's no Tfisas Kedushin for her, for anybody, i.e. she's not Jewish, i.e. she's a Shivcha Kananis. So there's no Tfisas Kedushin, not for you, not for anybody. So there, what is the child? The child is going to follow her. So in other words, if she's not Jewish, the child is not Jewish. If the Shivcha Kananis, who is also not Jewish status, not full Jewish status, child is going to be just like her. In other words, the child will follow her. Okay, so those are the four categories of the Mishnah. Yesterday, we spent the entire daf, most of the daf yesterday, certainly all of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph and Samach Zayin Amud Beis, talking about what is included in the general rules, what are exceptions of the general rule. So that was yesterday's daf. We are now continuing on Samach Zayin Amud Beis, and we're starting with the words Gufa. It's towards the top of the Amud, and let us start. Gufa ki asa ravin amar av Yochanan b'umos halach achar hazachar nizgaru halach achar hapagam shibishnehim. So, Rav Yochanan gives us a basic rule that goes like this. When it comes to people marrying within nationalities, not Jewish, meaning other nationalities, other nations of the world, so then you follow the male. However, Nizgairu, once they convert, halach achar hapagam, then you follow the deficient of the two. Now, let's talk it out. So my b'ulmos halach achar hazachar. So the Gemara quoted this yesterday, but now we have an opportunity to give a little more explication. Yesterday the Gemara just quoted it just because it wanted to get to that second statement of Rav Yochanan, but now the Gemara returns back and the Gemara says, okay, now let's spend some time together trying to understand. So kedetanya, the Gemara quotes the Brisa. Minay lechem neoma shabala kananis. Let's say you have one of the nations of the world marrying a kananis, a female Canaanite. Now a couple things. First of all, we know by the Canaanim, so we have a mission. The mission is to go into Eretz Yisrael to conquer the Canaanim, and also the Torah says, "Lo sechai kol neshama," that we're not allowed to let them live. So this is one of the Yisurim in the Torah. So it goes without saying, if the Torah says Lo Sechai Kol Neshama, so it goes without saying you're not allowed to marry them. Meaning it's obviously more than that. So now, the question's a really simple question. So now you have a man who is not Jewish, who comes from one nationality, marrying a Canaanite woman. Okay, and they have children. So now the question is, for those children, do we have the halachic status of Lo Sechai Kol Neshama? It's a very simple question. And to that, the Gemara is going to now answer, the Gemara is going to address that very question. The Brisa is addressing that question. One sociological note, and that is that the assumption is always going to be that the man is going to travel to marry the woman. And the
Women don't travel.
That's the general sociological note that the Gemara is assuming when making these drushas. So, minayin lechem and omer shebala kananis. So let's say you have one of the nations who is going to have relations with a Canaanite woman, v'holi ben, and they have children, sha'atarashal knosa be'eved, and you're allowed to purchase that child as an eved kanani. Meaning, what's the halakhic ramification? It's very simple. I mean, we're not talking about marriage, they're not Jewish. We're talking about whether or not we're going to apply the pasuk of lo sechai kol neshama. If the halachic imperative of lo sechai kol neshama applies, you certainly can't buy them as an eved kanani, goes without saying. But the Gemara is going to now teach us you are allowed to. So Tamar lomar v'gam b'bnei atoshavim hagarim imachem mehem tiknu. If you have toshavim are like resident aliens. So if they come into Eretz Yisrael, so you're allowed to purchase them as an eved kanani. Yachlaf eved shabal shivcha mina umos v'holi ben shatav rishaloknoso be'eved. Now let's go the other direction.
That's not a year total.
Huh?
That's not a year.
Essentially, in other words, and the point is that their children. Yeah, and the point is that their children are also going to have the status of the father. Now let's go the other direction. Now let's talk about a Canaanite man going elsewhere, marrying another nationality, a woman from another nationality, and having a child. So Tamar lomar asher holidu ba'artzechem. The Torah says, no, when birth takes place in your country, and this is the point that I made earlier, meaning the assumption is that the women don't travel. So therefore, if birth took place here, all right, for all you birthers out there. So if birth took place in Eretz Yisrael, the assumption is that the woman is a Canaanite and the man is a non-Canaanite. If the min ha-nodim ba'artzachem v'lo min ha-garim ba'artzachem. If birth took place elsewhere, the assumption is that it's the woman who is a non-Canaanite and the man is a Canaanite. And that means then that when it comes to nationalities, we follow the zachar, we follow the male. The male will be the determinant in terms of what the status of the child is. Okay, next.
How can you then keep him as a slave?
It's exactly the point. You don't.
The father is not a Canaanite.
Only for those whose mother's Canaanite and father's not. Right. So then you can keep him as a slave.
Right.
But if it's the other way, you can't.
Right. The father
is. Okay. Now, if they convert, so you follow the one who is more pogum. Now, so the Gemara says, let's play this out. What are we talking about over here? Now, generally speaking, when someone converts, that's it. They're a Jew. And kikatan hanola dami, and their history usually doesn't play a factor. However, with a couple of nationalities, yeah, once they convert, you're not allowed to marry them. Okay, so what are exceptional rules? So number one, Mitzrayim Adomi. We went over this yesterday, but let's just review. Mitzrayim Adomi, so the Torah says, Dor Shlishi, only the third generation conversion. So after a Mitzrayim Adomi convert, so generation one and two, meaning the convert and their children, you're not allowed to marry. When they have grandchildren, so that's Dor Shlishi, so you are allowed to marry. Now when it comes to Moav, Ammon and Moav, so the halacha goes like this, Lo Yavo Ammoni Moavi Bekal Hashem. Torah says that you're not allowed to marry Moavi Ammoni. Right? Common misconception. Doesn't mean they can't convert. They can convert. What it means, however, is that after they convert, they still have a tag of their nationality, of their former nationality, and therefore you're not allowed to marry them. And that, Isser, is La'olam. That's forever. But as we also know, we saw this in the Gemara in Yevamos, and let's go over this again right now, but that only applies to the male population. That doesn't apply to the female population. Rus, who is a convert from Moav, you are allowed to marry immediately because she's a female, and this halach only applies to the male. So what you have now is the exceptional converts who still have tags of their former nationality even after they convert. So the Gemara says is that when you have these types of converts getting together and marrying together, so you follow the pogum. So the Gemara says, let's just spell this out. Meaning, what exactly? What would be the scenario in which we're going to follow the pogum? B'mai elam b'mitzvah shanasa amonis. So we're going to have now an Egyptian man marrying an Ammonite woman. Again, all these are converts, obviously. So the Gemara says, my pogum ika amoni v'lo amonis. So the Gemara says, well, what pogum are we speaking about? Meaning, we're looking for a case where both sides of the marriage are pogum, and then when it comes to the female Ammonite who converted, she has no pogum whatsoever. So that can't be the case. Elaba Amoni Shanasa Mitzris. So it must be that we're talking about the male Amoni marrying the female Mitzris. Now, V'izachar have hai shaja abasre didei. V'imnekeva havia shaja abasra dida. So fascinating. So now what's basically going to happen is that the children that they're going to have are going to have different statuses, meaning you have dad who's an Ammonite convert and mom who's a Mitzri, convert. Generation one. So now they have children. So the male children they have, so again, the rule is you follow the Pogam Shabbat, meaning for Gzeiros HaKosav, the Torah's rule is that those children are going to be the worst of those two. So for that's going to be a different conclusion for their male children, for their female children. When they have a male child, so for the male child, which is worse? The Ammonite. Much worse, meaning because he's going to have the status of Ammonite forever. When they have female children, what's worse for the female child? The Mitzri. Because if she got the Ammonite status, she'd be muteris immediately. So for her, the Mitzri is the worst of the two. Which means then that when she has a child, that child that she has is going to be allowed to marry.
It's relative.
Okay, so the... That is what's meant by Rav Yochanan's second statement. Okay, brings us all back to our Mishnah, and now Kol She'ein La Alav Kiddushin. We are now in the third category of the Mishnah. So what we have done so far is we have explicated the first category, the second category of our Mishnah, and now we're in category number three. When a man attempts to marry an Erva, there is no Tfisas Kiddushin. When they have children, that child is a Mamzer. And the Gemara's question is, Minah Hanimili, now how do we know this? If you take a look at Rashi right here at this point in time, Minah Hanimili, Rashi writes the following. It is three lines after the lines become wide, and I'm reading Rashi. Minah Hanimili, de'en kiddushin tofsin b'chai v'krisos. So what Rashi says is what the Gemara is doing now is teaching us that there is no tfisas kiddushin when it comes to chai v'krisos. When we have a woman who is ushered to you through the punishment of kares, so kiddushin will not take effect. And that is what the Gemara is now going to tell us in terms of what the source for that is. Aval havlan mamzer nafkalan. Now, as far as the resulting child, so Rashi says we knew that already. Meaning, that's not what the Gemara is attempting to prove right now. Rashi says we learned that from Smichas Aparshios. Nafkalan lo yikach ishes eshes aviv lo yigalak kanaf aviv. Is the two psukim that are juxtaposed together in Parshas Kiseitse, one having to do with your father's wife. Usmich, a man is not allowed to be with his father's wife. Usmich lo yavam mamzer. And the Torah says and a mamzer is not allowed to enter into the congregation. And umokmin la biyavamus b'shameres yavam shal aviv shehilo eishes achi aviv shehi bekares. And the Gemara in Yavamus goes on to say that specifically the Torah over there is speaking about a very specific case. It's talking about basically your uncle's wife. Your uncle's wife, which is an erva to you. Umehachi afin la biyavamus beperka cholets dechol she'en lo alav kiddushin av la mamzer. And there, once there's no kiddushin, so the child is therefore going to be a mamzer. But Rashi says over here, what the Gemara is teaching us now is that there simply is no Tfisas Kiddushin. That's Rashi's understanding of where we're going right now in the Gemara. If you take a look at Tosfos, I'm not going to go through it right now, but the one Tosfos on this Amud, Tosfos says, we knew this already. Okay, it's an important Tosfos in terms of establishing the relationship between Tfisas Kiddushin and the production of a Mamzer. Okay, but for the time being though, just stay with Rashi. This is what we're attempting to do right now. How do I know there's no Tfisas Kiddushin when it comes to a Chai V'Kares? So the Gemara quotes, Menahani Mili Hanonos Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan Umati Ba Mishum De Rabbi Yanai V'Rav Acha B'Rei De Rav Derava Umatuba Mishum Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Okay, a long mesorah in terms of where this halacha comes from. Who is the disseminator of this halacha? Amakra. V'yatzam ibeis of ahacha v'hais alisha achir. The Torah again, Parshas Kisetze, describes a woman leaving her house and going into another house, meaning going from one man to another man. So la'achem v'lo l'krovim. So who can she go to? She can go to achir. And we know that in halacha, there are basically, the halacha makes a clear distinction between in family and out of family. And when a woman leaves her husband and goes to another man, it has to be achir. It has to be someone outside the family. Why? Because if it were someone in the family, aside from the fact that it's an issur in the Torah, meaning that the Torah spells that out. Aside from that, what we're now saying is that it's not that you're not allowed to marry her, which you're not. I'm sorry, you're not allowed to marry him, which you're not, but you can't marry him, meaning there simply will not be a Tfisas Kiddushin. This is the source. So Maskev Rabbi Abba, ve'ema la'achiv lo la'ben. So the Gemara says, okay, but look, we certainly you get a clear implication for the Torah that it has to be an outsider. But maybe outsider means outsider, not your son. Meaning maybe only to the son there's no tefisas kedushin. Ben behechek siv lo yikach ish es eisha aviv. Lo yikach ish es eishes aviv. So the Torah already says that a man is not allowed to take his father's wife. Meaning, and the Torah over there says yikach, which means that there's not even tefisas kedushin. So I already know that the son is precluded from tefisas kedushin. So now how do I know to the other family members? Achar lamali, shema min alachem velo lekrovim. That permits us now to make this drasha. So the Gemara says, ve'ema idivid leven, halachatchila hadiaved. So the Gemara says, well, let's go back to our original suggestion. Maybe the Pasuk is only talking about the son, meaning when a woman leaves a man, she can't marry the man's son. And even though, yes, there are now two drashas, one of Acher and the other is Eishes Aviv, there are two drashas, but maybe the need for the two drashas is one to say Lechatchila shouldn't marry, and Bidiyavid they shouldn't marry as well, meaning that there simply is not going to be Tefisas Kedushin. So Lechatchila Me'achos Isha Nafka. So the Gemara says, well, Lechatchila, we knew that already. How do I know that? From the halacha of your wife's sister. Uma'achos Isha. And here the Gemara gives a very simple argument. If you are not allowed to marry your wife's sister, and that's an issur kares, and that is a din lechatchila, certainly you're not allowed to marry somebody whose punishment is even greater. And the Gemara continues to argue the point. Well, maybe both of these psukim are specific to your wife's sister, and one's the chachil and the other's bidyevit. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll concede that point. So now, okay, point conceded. You can't marry your wife's sister, not lechachila and not bidyevit. When we say bidyevit, we mean there's not going to be tefisas kedushin. So fine. So you know what? I'll give it to you. We've established that. Now, Shar Reis Minalan, Yafin Omer Achos Isha. So now what we have is a binyan of. We know there's not going to be Tfisas Kedushin by your wife's sister, so there's not going to be Tfisas Kedushin by any of the other Averos, any of the other Arayos. Ma Achos Isha Miyuchedeshuhu Erva, Vicha Yavin Azdona Karas Vashi Gagaso Chatas. And with a binyan of, we're basically going to take its key components and apply to all the other areas in Halacha that share those key components. So when it comes to your wife's sister, it's an erva. It is chayav nazdono kares. If you do it intentionally, have relations with your wife's sister, the punishment is kares. If you do so b'shogeg, the punishment is karban chatas. V'lo tafsi pekedushin. And we've just established that there's no tfisas kedushin. Av kol shehi erva v'chayav nazdono kares v'ashe gagaso chatas lo tafsi pekedushin. So any of the other arayas that share these characteristics, there will not be tfisas kedushin. Ad Khan. So far we have now a source in the Torah that teaches us that there will not be tefisas kedushin by the Arayos. So the Gemara says, now, here we go. The Binyan Av is good. However, it doesn't explain all the cases. For example, the case of Eishes Ish. For example, the case of Eishes Ach, another man's wife and your brother's wife. Mala achos isha shekein ein la heter b'makom mitzvah. Tomer b'Eishes Ach sheyesh la heter b'makom mitzvah. So first of all, when it comes to your brother's wife, even though she's an erva to you, there may be an occasion where not only is she not an erva, it's a mitzvah to marry her. So that's an exceptional case. And Eishes Ish na mikol mifrach mala hanach shekein ein la heter b'ch. Furthermore, a married woman. A married woman right now currently represents an erva. She's a married woman. On the other hand, generally speaking, once an erva, always an erva. That's not true with a married woman. When the husband divorces her or if he dies, she now becomes permitted. So these are exceptional arayos. And even if you want to tell me that the halacha, that there's no tefisas kedushin, is generated from the case of achos isha, but that only gets us to the quote-unquote normal cases of arayos. But we have now just noted that there are two exceptional cases of arayos, and they do not fall under the category of binyan ab. And we're looking now for a source that would explain all the arayos. So ala amar Rav Yonah, so the Gemara says, okay, so here we go now, round two. So we have one source in the Torah that teaches us about the arayos, the one that was given to us by Rav Yochanan. That's basically what we've done up until now. And now, number two, Rav Yonah. Rav Yonah gives a hekesh. V'item Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua, amakra kol asher, yeaseh mikol ha-toevos ha-eila v'nichrasu. So what the Torah does after listing all the arayos, it basically says a summary statement. basically pooling all of them together. Hukshu kol arayis kulam la'achos isha. So now what we have is what's called the hekesh, where the Torah lumps them all together. Ma'achos isha lo tafsi ba'kedushin. So it is based on the platform of what Rav Yochanan said, that the original source in the Torah that there's no tefisas kedushin is achos isha. But how do we know to extend it to the others? So what Rav Yochanan was trying to do was do it via a binyanav. But the Gemara says, but the binyanav is incomplete. Now we're using a hekesh. And we know the general rule is once you make a hekesh, you're meshivan al hekesh. Meaning you can ask questions, but it's not going to break the hekesh. The hekesh is, I guess we could say, stronger. So tafsi bakadushin, afkalarai, it's called tafsi bakadushin. Okay, ihachi. So the Gemara says, okay, now let's consider. So what we've done essentially is we've lumped all the arayas together so that there is no tfisus kedushin by any one of the arayas. But we know that there are notable exceptions. And the Gemara now discusses, ihachi afilu nida nami. So the Gemara says, now we know that in the arayas, one of the arayas is a woman who's a nida. And now the conclusion should be that if a man is attempting to be mekadesh anida, the kedushin should not take effect. A man, the kedushin will not take effect for a sister, a mother, a daughter, and in other words, any of the arayas in the Torah. So if I read through the parsha of Achrimos, and I now familiarize myself with what the arayas in the Torah are, so then all of them there should be no tefisas kedushin. Included in that is a woman is anida. Now, as we're about to learn in just a moment, it's not true. A man is mekadesh anida, the kedushin is going to be effective. So, afilo nami, alama amar abaya hakomodim bebal anida, veala sota she'en avlad mamzer. And meanwhile, a man has relations with anida, a man has relations with a sota, the child is not going to be a mamzer. Now, remember, it's the big correlation that if there is tfisus kedushin, the child is not a mamzer. If there's no tfisus kedushin, the child is a mamzer. So, by virtue of the fact that there is no tfisus kedushin, the conclusion should have been the child is a mamzer. And meanwhile, Abai says that everyone's in perfect agreement that for the nida and for the sota, the child will not be a mamzer. Now, as far as the nida is concerned, it's kind of that doesn't need much explication. The woman is a nida when you were a mekadesha. What about a sota? What exactly is going on with the sota? So, if you take a look at Rashi, the She'ein Havlad Mamzer, it's a short Rashi over here. Now, first of all, when we're talking about Sota, when we're talking about Sota, we are speaking specifically about a woman who committed adultery. Meaning, remember, we've gone over this time and again, Sota, usually we think of it of the woman who's drinking the Mei Sota. Which is accurate. However, there are two types of sota. There's one who is suffik, and there's the other one who's a vadai. So over here, we're talking about a vadai, meaning a married woman who committed adultery, and after she committed adultery, and it was known that she committed adultery, so then she has relations with her husband again, and they have a child. So now, what is the status of the child? So, that's what we're learning together right now. The status of the child is that child is not a mamzer. Now, what... This Rashi is interesting. What would we have thought? So if you take a look at the next Rashi, the short Rashi, Shein Avlad Mamzer, Sha'arei Adayin Kedushin Omdim Ba. Fascinating Rashi. Rashi says, because, you see, this woman who committed adultery, she's still married. Meaning, we would have entertained the possibility that once she committed adultery, so that's it. It breaks the marriage. Meaning, we know the halach is that the husband is required to divorce her. But the required to divorce her means that until that point in time, they're still married. And the argument that the Gemara was entertaining, although rejecting, but at least entertaining, is this idea that once she commits adultery, so that goes all the way back to the Kedushin and basically undoes the Kedushin. What we're learning now is that that's not true. But just as a hava, I mean, it's interesting. Okay, michti. So I'm sorry. The punchline, right? We need the punchline. So now we have just introduced ourselves to one of the arayas in the Torah, specifically nida, and we know the halach is that if a woman has a child and the child, and even though the conception took place while she was in nida, nevertheless the child is not a mamzer. So amr chizki amr kravati nida sa alav afilo bishas nida sa teheba havaya. So the Gemara says that the Torah uses the term vatihi. Vatihi ki kisiya leish. Every time you use a conjugated form of the word havaya, so that is a reference to tfisas kedushin. And since the Torah uses that word in conjunction with nida, so that comes to teach us that there is a tfisas kedushin when it comes to a nida. So in other words, it is a notable exception to the general rule of Arias. The general rule of Arias is there is no tfisas kedushin. The nida is the notable exception.
But nida is a temporary status. It's not a permanent status. So it really
But there are others as well. Eishes Ish is also a temporary status. I understand you can make differences between the various differences, the degrees of temporary, but a married woman is also temporary. And a wife's sister is also theoretically temporary. Okay,
but the
I know, but
a married woman and a wife's sister, the chazaka is they're going to stay in that state until something happens. Whereas the nida, it assumed that within the various
all your points are good. The parsha of nida is found within Arayos. That's why the Gemara needs to say this. Michti, ikala kushal anida v'ikala kushal achus isha. So the Gemara says, oh, look what just happened. Now, we really opened up a Pandora's box. Because now in the Parsha of Arayos, I actually have two sources. One telling me that there is Tfisas Kedushin, one telling me there's no Tfisas Kedushin. Meaning, of all the Arayos in the Torah is specific about your wife's sister and anida. Now, by your wife's sister, no Tfisas Kedushin. By Anita, there is Tfisas Kedushin. And so now, you want to tell me that the Torah lumps all of them together. Yeah, but now we have two actually separate conclusions to work with. One is that there will be, and the other is that there will not be Tfisas Kedushin. My chasis nemakshis laha, lachusisha, akshal Anita. So the Gemara says, okay, so why not make the Hekesh and connect all the Arayas to Anita and tell me that there would be Tfisas Kedushin? So the Gemara says, kula v'chomer l'chomer makshinan. So the Gemara says that as a rule, when we have an opportunity for Hekesh and we can go in one of two paths, and one path is leads us to the point of Kul and the other one leads us down the path of Chumrah, so the rule is L'chumrah makshinan, Hekesh is headed towards Chumrah, not towards Kula. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar Asi b'Kav HaChomer miYavama. So now the Gemara is going to give another suggestion. So this would be for those keeping score, our third possible source in the Torah that teaches us that there will not be Tfisas Kedushin when it comes to Chayvei Isuri Kares. So the Gemara says, Asi b'Kav HaChomer, we learn it through a Kav HaChomer, miYavama. And specifically from miYavama. A woman's married, her husband dies, she left with no children, and her husband left one surviving brother. And so now there's a mitzvah in the Torah of Yibum. And so, Ma Yavama, Shehi Balav, Lo Tafsi Bakedushin. So when it comes to Yavama, now, for her to marry another man, even though she herself is quasi-married, but still, for her to be with another man is a lav in the Torah. It's not a Isser Kares. And meanwhile, let's say an outsider attempts to marry her and attempts to be Mekadisher. There is no Tisus Kedushin. Now the Gemara over here says it. Take a look at Rashi. I'm not going to go through it right now. There's a source for this. There has to be a source for this. Otherwise, there should be Tisus Kedushin. There's a source for this. But right now, let's just assume that that's the rule, and it is. So there's not going to be Tisus Kedushin. So now we have the grounds for a Kavachomer. If there's no Tisus Kedushin when it comes to a Yavama Lashuk, and that's only a Lav, so Chayvei Mises v'Chayvei Krisus L'Kol Shekein. So any relationship that has a greater Isser, i.e. all your Chayvei Krisus and all your Chayvei Mises based in, so for sure there's not going to be Tfisas Kedushin. The obvious question which the Gemara now is going to ask is, Ihachi Shar Chayvei Lavinami. Well, wait one second. You just told me that there's no Tfisas Kedushin by Chayvei Lavin. When specific to the Yavama. And so now that should mean that throughout all the world of Chayvei Lavin, there should be no Tfisas Kedushin. And we know that's not true. That's category number two. Okay, so Amar Papa Chayvei Lavin Behejik Sivbahu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Torah specifically speaks about the idea that there will be Tfisas Kedushin by Chayvei Lavin. The Torah in the beginning of Parshas Kiseitze, Kisiyena Leishtei Nashim Va'achatz Ahova Va'achatz Nuwa. A man is married to two women, one is beloved and the other one is hated. V'chi Yesh Nuwa Lefnei HaMakom. Now, when the Torah is writing the halachos and the mitzvos and the isurim, so from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to get emotional, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to talk about one who's beloved and one who's hated. In other words, the terms Ahuv and Snua are halachic terms. They are not terms of feelings. So the Gemara says, Ahuv alifnei hamakom el ahuv, ahuv b'nisuah, snua, snua b'nisuah. Beloved and hated is in relation to the nature of the marriage. Man married two women, one marriage HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes, because, say, marriage that was done behechsher, and the other one HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not like because it was done be'isser. Now, v'kamer rachmana ki siena, and the Torah says that there is a havaya, that there will be a tfisas kedushin. Okay, so that teaches us that there would be tfisas kedushin by chayv alavin. So, that doesn't upset Rav Acher Bar Yaakov's point. Rav Acher Bar Yaakov is still allowed to make a kav chomer from Yavam Lashuk, even though Yavam Lashuk is a noble exception. Okay, I do find that interesting, just as a parenthetical note, meaning the Gemara just built an entire kav chomer on an exceptional rule. Yavam Lashuk is an exceptional rule. And so it can serve as a platform for a kav chomer. Okay, and the Gemara doesn't make much of that. But that certainly does seem to be an interesting point.
And there's a strong
Zika with the Yavara.
So.
Okay, that's so fine. Yeah. Okay, but you need it without. You're right, but you need a source in order to say it, and there is a source for that. But still, it's not the rule; it's the exception. The rule is by Chayv Lavin, there is Tvisas Kedushin. That's the rule. Okay, now Ula Rabbi Akiva Damar Kedushin Tovsim beChayv Lavin. So now the Gemara entertains the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Now we've done this time and again. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that there is no Tvisas Kedushin, not by Chayv Mises Beisdin, not by Chayv Krisus, not by Chayv Lavin, and as we're going to entertain in just a moment, not even by other Isurim as well. Even Chayve Asay, perhaps. That one I will not say definitively, as you'll see why in just a moment. But in other words, Rabbi Akiva maintains that there's no Tfisas Kedushin for generally all the prohibited marriages. That means that according to Rabbi Akiva, once there's no Tfisas Kedushin, the resulting children from that marriage are going to be a mamzerim. Okay, and as we'll see, the general consensus is, and Tosus already said this all the way back on the Mishnah and Samach Vavam and Beis, we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah is not holding like Rabbi Akiva. But right now, we're just focusing on the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. So it comes out that according to Rabbi Akiva, there's not going to be Tzvisas Kedushin. How did he learn that pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Kiseitse? Ki siyena le'ish nei nashim, achaz ovav achatz nuah. Meaning, according to Rabbi Akiva, when are you going to have marriage with a non-sanctioned marriage, a non-sanctioned woman? That's the Gemara's question, and the Gemara is going to deal with this. Most of the Gemara that we're about to see now, we saw just a short couple days ago. It's good review. Kisiyena le Rabbi Akiva damer in kedushin tovsim bechayv elav and kisiyena b'may mukim. So what is how is he going to explain the pasuk? Ba'amalako and gadol uche Rabbi Simai. So the Gemara says, well, could be that the Torah over there is describing a Kohen Gadol marrying an Amana. Even though that's a prohibition in the Torah, nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva will not refer to that child as a mamzer, for the reasons we're about to articulate. Detanya will enter the Brisa Rabbi Semai Omer Minakohai Rabbi Akiva Osa Mamzer. Rabbi Akiva would make mamzerim out of any illicit union. Chutz mi Amana Kohen Gadol, with a notable exception of a Amana marrying a Kohen Gadol, Shari Amar Torah lo yichalal chilulam osin ve'ein osin mamzeros. It's a drasha that when a Kohen Gadol marries an Amana, the resulting child is going to be a chalal, specifically a chalal, not a mamzeros. Now, now Rav Yishev says, let's go and scream against Akiva ben Yosef, that any time it's a non-sanctioned relations between a man and a woman, the resulting child is going to be a mamzer. And so now, according to Rav Yishev's understanding of Rabbi Akiva, even a man marrying a Kohen Gadol, the resulting child is going to be a mamzer. So Rav Yishev, so the Gemara says, now, if Rav Yishevav was just saying this contrary to Rabbi Simai's understanding of Rabbi Kiva, so then it happens to be that we'll be okay. Why? Let me fill in that blank. Why would it be okay? Because at least we could say that the Torah is talking about a non-sanctioned marriage that would result in children who are not mamzerim, specifically Chai Ve'aseh. Let's say a man marries a first or second generation Egyptian convert. So you're not allowed to marry them, but that's not an Isser. That is an Isser Aseh. say. We only know that because the Torah says, marry them only at generation number 3. We know by implication that you're not allowed to marry generation 1 and generation 2 of the Egyptian convert. This is what's called Lav Haba Mechlal Aseh, which has the status of an Aseh. So Rabbi Akiva would therefore say that the resulting child is not a mamzer. Fine. But Itam Adanav Shei Kamar, but if Rav Yeshevav is giving his own statement, he's making an independent statement. He is not addressing Rabbi Simai, and what he's simply saying is, any illicit union between a man and a woman, the resulting child is going to be a mamzer. So va'afilu chayvei aseh, and that would include even chayvei aseh as well. But my mukim law. So now it comes out that Rabbi Akiva would make any non-sanctioned marriage the children a mamzer, meaning Rabbi Akiva would hold that there's never going to be tefisas kedushin. And so now the question is, when Rabbi Akiva is in shul in Parshas Kiseitse and reading the psukim of Kisiena l'ishnei nashim achas ava v'achas nua, who's this nua? What marriage is both prohibited and at the same time recognized according to Rabbi Akiva? According to Rabbi Yeshevav's understanding of Rabbi Akiva, if Rabbi Yeshevav is making an independent statement in his understanding of Rabbi Akiva, so who's the Torah talking about when it says snua? So the Gemara says bebulo kohen gadol. So the Gemara says, well, yeah, there would be a case where it's a non-sanctioned marriage, but the Torah would recognize it, and that would be if a non-virgin were to marry a kohen gadol. We know, beginning of this week's parsha, we know that a kohen gadol is obligated to marry a besula. Okay, so if he marries a be'ula, so then what the Kohen Gadol is doing is, it's not a lav, it is a bitul aseh. He just missed an opportunity of fulfilling a mitzvah in marrying the be'ula. Now, generally speaking, this part's a little bit tricky. Generally speaking, if a woman is having relations with another man before she marries a Kohen Gadol, so for a number of reasons, she could be disqualified from marrying the Kohen Gadol. So that part's a little bit tricky, but anyway. So, Umayshna Mishum Dehavilei Aseh She'en Shava Bekol. Now, according to Rabbi Kiva, simple question. Wait a second. According to Rabbi Kiva, it's a non-sanctioned marriage. So why should this be different? So the Gemara's answer is because it's a bitul mitzvah aseh that only applies to the Kohen Gadol. So there, under these circumstances, Rabbi Akiva would say, in this case, it's extraordinarily limited, then the marriage would be recognized as a marriage, even though it's non-sanctioned. Now, so the Gemara says, now, according to the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Akiva, so why don't they at least say that the Pasuk in Parshas Kiseitse is not talking about chayvei lav, it's talking about chayvei aseh. So hani chayvei aseh b'may ninu. So the Gemara says, well, exactly, give me the example of what it's talking about. Ishtem mitzvah, ishtem snuos. Now, they're both Egyptian converts, so they're both snuos. And iachas mitzvah, v'achas Israelis. So shtei nashim, me'am echad b'inam. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the shtei nashim of the pasuk seems to be that they're coming from one nationality. I ba'ula l'kohen gadol. And if we're talking about a ba'ula to a kohen gadol, miksiv tiyan l'kohen. Yeah, but the Torah says, ki tiyan l'ish. Shnei Nashim seems to be talking about a generic person. It's not talking about the Kohen Gadol. So basically what the Chachamim say is it's really not the Pshat. Meaning the Pshat in the Torah is that we're talking about a man who marries a woman, Be'isser, meaning a lav. And Rabbi Akiva, finishing up this entire sugya, Now Rabbi Akiva says, look, I know I was painted into a corner. And this whole parsha in the Torah of Kisiena l'ishnei nashim is talking about a really specific case. A Kohen Gadol marrying one woman who was a Basula, the other woman is a Ba'ula. And in that case, and only in that case, does the Torah recognize that marriage, even though it is a forbidden marriage. And I know that's very strange, and I know that's very unusual, but Rabbi Kiva says, but look, what else am I supposed to do? Meaning, my starting point is any non-sanctioned marriage, the resulting child is going to be mamzerim. Meaning that the marriage is not going to be recognized. There's no tefisas kedushin. And so that's my starting point. So now I have this parsha. So yes, I'm going to say a pshat in the parsha. And yes, it's going to be non-conventional. Agreed. Okay, now we are up to the final category of the Mishnah. We're on the very bottom of Samaches Aleph, And the Gemara now is going to give us a source that teaches us that if a man marries a woman where there is no tefisas kedushin, not from her, not from her to anybody, so then the resulting child is going to be her. The status of that child is going to be her. So the Gemara says, and how do I know that? Now there are two women that we need to speak about. One being a Shifcha Kananis, and the other one being a Nachris. So let's start with a Shifcha Kananis. So the Gemara says, how do I know? I'm Rav Huna, I'm Rav Kra, Shvulachem Poem Achamor. So by the Akedis Yitzchak, so instructions were, stay here with a chamor, am hadoma lechamor. The nation that is compared to a chamor, the Gemara over here just simply means that much like a chamor has no yichus and has no status, so too the nation as well, meaning the Eved Kenani. So ashkachan de lo tafti ba kedushin, vlada.
Are you playing the Hagar did he convert?
Huh?
Are they implying that Hagar didn't convert, so Ishmael is
I'm not sure. In other words, I mean, whatever. Let's discuss it afterwards. So the Gemara says, Tafsir Bakdushin, Vlada Kamosa Minalan. How do I know that the child that comes from that union is going to have her status? So fine. So I'm with you. There's no Tfisis Kedushin. Fine. So Damakra, Isha Vyalda, Tiel Adoneha. So the Gemara says, so that we can go to the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim. And there the Torah describes that when you have an Eved Ivri, so as an exceptional rule, under certain circumstances, the Eved Ivri is allowed to marry a Shifcha Kananis. However, when the Eved Ivri leaves, he does not take his children with him. Why? Because status-wise, they're not his children. They are hers. They have her status. That is the source in the Torah that teaches us that the child of a Shifcha Kananis is, it follows her status, meaning they're avadim. Nachris minalan. Now we move on to the next case of the Mishnah. A man has relations with a nachris, so what's the status of the child? Her. Child will be a non-Jew, like mom. Minalan amakra. This is the Gemara. This is the Gemara that talks about who is a Jew. And and this is the Gemara that speaks about matrilineal descent. The Gemara says, amakra, lo sischatem bam. So the first the Gemara quotes a pasuk that teaches us that you're not allowed to marry. Meaning, not only you're not allowed to marry, there is no marriage. There is no institution of marriage when it comes between Jew and non-Jew. So fine, there's no tefisas kedushin. But now let's move on to the next point, which is status of the child. So they're going to remove your son from me. Okay, who is he? A lot of pronouns over here. Who are we talking about? If you take a look at Rashi, Ki Asir Bencha, Rashi, third line down in the Amud, Rashi writes, La'el mineksiv, bitcha lo sitin livno, ubitol lo sikach libincha. So the Torah gives a warning to us and tells us, look, don't intermarry. Don't give your sons over to their daughters. Don't give your daughters over to their sons. Usmich le. And immediately following that, kiyasir is bincha, and what's going to happen is they're going to take away your son. Midloksiv kiyasir is bitcha, and it doesn't say your daughter. Mashma de ben hanolad laove kochavim mi bitcha kamar, meaning that if you look at the juxtaposition and you follow it carefully, you're going to find that when your daughter marries marries a non-Jew, so what they're going to do is they're going to take their children, meaning your grandchildren, and they're going to remove them from Yadus. Now, what is that telling us? It's telling us that the grandchildren are Jews, and they're going to remove them from Yadus. So that teaches us that children of your daughter who intermarried, that's referred to as your son. Now, we're going to do the next Rashi, but let's just read it from the Gemara. However, let's go the other way. Let's say that your son marries a non-Jewish woman, so their grandchildren are not part of the fold. They're not Jews, and therefore the pasuk of kiyasir doesn't apply. Look at the next Rashi. Vein bincha ba menoves kocham kar bincha midaloksiv nami kisasir es bincha. It doesn't refer to she removing the nishma minei de kapid nami krabi bito lo tikach levincha mishum ki tasir es aben hanolala mibincha. In other words, the Torah doesn't give a description of how she. Now let's fill in the blank. Who's the pronoun? Meaning your non-Jewish daughter-in-law, she is not going to be removing your grandchildren. Why? Because they already were removed. Meaning by virtue of the fact that your son married a non-Jewish girl, so and they have children, they're going to be not Jewish. Ama ben avodes kochavim einu kari bincha ela bina. It's not your son, meaning it's not part of your family. It's her son. It's part of her family. So this is a source in the Torah that teaches us that when it comes to a nachris, we follow, and the status of the nachris, we follow the mother. So the Ravina says what we learn from here is that the son of your daughter that comes from a non-Jew is called your son, meaning still part of the fold, still Jewish. So the Gemara says, now does that mean that according to Ravina, if a non-Jew or an Eved Kanani has relations with a Jewish woman, the child is going to be a mamzer? So the Gemara says, and what's built into this question? Gemara says, well, think about it. There's no Tfisas Kedushin. The child is Jewish. So, you know, put those two pieces of information together. There's no Tfisas Kedushin. The child is Jewish. So what normally happens under those circumstances? Right, the child is a mamzer. So the Gemara says, Nehi dekasha lo havi mamzer lo havi. Pasul mikre. So the Gemara says, well, no. In other words, it's not a non-Jew. It's not a mamzer. But the child has some sort of tainted status. Now, exactly how to say that in halachic terminology, so that part's a little tricky. But in other words, there is a taint to the yichus, but not a mamzer. The Gemara, let's just wrap this up. Hahu b'shiva goyim ksiv shar umos minalan. Okay, if you look at the psukim that we quoted contextually, you will see that the psukim are speaking specifically about marriage with any one of the seven Canaanite nations. So, what we now know is that the intermarriage is not a recognized marriage between us and the seven Canaanite nations, and furthermore, children that they have is going to follow the status of the mother. If mom is a Jew, the child is a Jew. If mom's a non-Jew, the child's a non-Jew. But that only speaks to intermarriage between a Jew and anyone from the seven nations. So how do I know that it applies to any other non-Jewish nationality? The same halachas would apply. Amakra ki asir es bin chal. The rabbis is kol amasirim. So ki asir, meaning what's going to end up happening is that they're going to take them away from Yadus. Now that halacha is not limited to the seven Canaanite nations. Anytime that there's going to be intermarriage, that's going to happen. So Hanichal Rabbi Shimon the Darvish time is a crop. So the Gemara says, so what just happened over here? Meaning we learned the halacha based on the reason that the Torah gives. The Torah says, why you're not allowed to intermarry? Why does the Torah not recognize an intermarriage? So because what's going to happen is that The father, meaning your son-in-law, is going to take your grandchild and take him away from Yadus, and that's not limited to the seven Canaanite nations. That's going to be true by anyone of a different nationality. So the Gemara says, but that's time of the Quran. We are establishing a halacha based on the reason. Now that's we do that, but when I say we do that, I don't mean we as a general rule, meaning Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon's Dorish time of Dekra. Now, we learn the Sefer Chinuch, so I just started learning it with my daughter. So the Sefer Chinuch for everyone in the mitzvah is in the Torah, so he gives the reason behind the mitzvah. And the Rambam does the same as well. But that's just helping us understand the mitzvah. That's not going to shape the halacha. The halachas are not going to be are not going to be functions of the reasons, but Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion, yes, they are. But he's a das yachid. He's a singular position on this matter, where the reason is actually going to shape and form the halacha. And if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi gives examples of Rabbi Shimon's Dorish time in Dekra. Okay, I encourage you to take a look at Rashi. I'm not going to go through it right now. But anyway, so but Ella Rabbana my time. But according to the Chachamim, what is the source? What is the source in the Torah that tells us that intermarriage between a Jew and a non-Jew is not recognized, and furthermore, the status of the child is going to follow the mother, not the father. Amar Kras, the Torah says, for that, V'acha kein tavo eleha uve'alta. So the Gemara says, we learned it from Eishes Yifas Tovar, again, the beginning of Parshas Ki Seitzeh. I mean, if Parshas Ki Seitzeh comes up again and again today, it's like... So it's necessary for all these whatever. It's connected to today's daf. So from Eishes Tifas Torah. So afterwards, so then you can have relations with her. Meaning Mechlal Demi Karlo Tafsi Ba Kedushin. Meaning prior to the process of conversion, there simply is not going to be Tfisas Kedushin. Now that's talking about Eishes Tifas Torah, and that's waging war against not the seven Canaanite nations. That's waging war against other nationalities. So Ashkechan Dolo Tafsi Ba Kedushin Vlada Kamosa Minalan. Once again, let's now go over. How do I find there's no Tfisas Kedushin? Status of the child. How do I know the status of the child follows her, not him? I'm a crook. Kisiena Leish, Vialdu Lo, Kolhecha de Karina Bay, Kisiena Karina Bay, Vialdu Lo. Vicholhecha de Lo Karina Bay, Kisiena, Lo Karina Bay, Vialdu Lo. So the Gemara says the Torah juxtaposes the idea of Havaya, means Tfisas Kedushin, and the children being yours. If there is no Havaya, so then the children are not going to be yours. Okay, we'll pause over here. I know we a little bit more to get to the Mishnah. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll finish up. We'll finish up to the Mishnah. God willing, tomorrow finish the Perek. And we'll start the fourth and final Perek of the Masechta.